Thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yes, it's the Urban Sports Scene. It's my name is Wally. I'm your host. Usually I do this show with a partner, a co-host. Right now I'm doing it solo. So you'll be hearing nothing but Wally. I'll have a couple of people call in to support the Urban Sports Scene and also, you know, tell their insights about what's going on and their opinion in the day of sports. But like I said, it's the Urban Sports Scene. If you've been listening to us, we've been going on for a while. This is our 181st episode of the Urban Sports Scene. So I appreciate you all tuning in and listening to our show. Make sure you listen to our homies Voice of the Fan podcast show. It's at www.blogtalkradio.com/the voice of the fan. The show is hosted by Alex and Jeff, so make sure you check them out. They're cool folks. It's a great show. The show is similar to our show, so make sure you tune in. Also, our show is syndicated on the internet radio station Real People Real Talk Radio. The site is managed by our good friends from Apple G's. Make sure you visit the site. It's www.realpeoplerealtalk.com. Also, make sure you call in. The number is 202-495-0904. That's 202-495-0904. The lines are open. So call in, have a conversation with myself. We can talk about anything you want to talk about. But right now, we do have an outline. So we're getting to our tradition, the pregame, right? I just heard recently on the way home that the Wizards did extend Randy Whitman to an extension. It's a 3-year deal with the option on the third year. Interesting deal. He does deserve it. I'm surprised he got he's getting an option. It makes sense for both parts. If you're not a Randy Whitman believer, you would say, okay, a third option is deserved. You know, hasn't won in, you know, other locations like Minnesota. But with the Washington Wizards, he has, you know, done a good job. Even when they were losing, it seemed like the team was very receptive to him. So I think this contract, in my opinion, is well-deserved for Randy Whitman. Hopefully, you know, John Wall, Bradley Beal will turn the corner and get even better. And I think with the progression of Bradley Beal and John Wall, that only makes Randy Whitman a better coach. And we'll see, hopefully, down the road, maybe he'll get a further extension, but he has to go. This team has to improve better than they did last year. I expect for this team to be a 50 win team, especially in the weak Eastern Conference. So this team should be a 50 win team, and we can see progression for the Washington Wizards. I'm not a Washington Wizard fan, but I know a lot of people were hashtagging DC Rising, so they were a big Wizards fan. So hopefully we'll see down the road. Maybe the Wizards, like I said, win 50 games. Maybe. Getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, where they can lose to the Miami Heat if LeBron James is still in Miami. Speaking of DC's finest, one of the people who has always been DC rising, Kevin Durant. This team was eliminated by the Spurs last week. I had this question. I posed this question to many folks. Should KD get like the criticism that LeBron James has gotten over the years in terms of not getting his team to get that big win? Or we all know that KD takes the big shot. We hear that all the time. He takes the big shot. LeBron James in prior years, you know, young LeBron, LeBron 1.0, whatever you want to call it, didn't take the big shot. Excuse me. Think we're getting a caller. Hold on.
Call from
Ronnie Watkins.
Call from.
Accept. Press 1 to send a voicemail.
I can't believe 2. I had all this on. Big Ron, what's up?
Hey, man, what's up? How you guys doing?
It's only one person on the show.
You working by yourself?
Yeah, I'm doing this solo. That's why I needed you to come on. But you didn't, you know, obviously didn't get the hint. I called you on to say you can be the co-host. But it's okay. I'm doing the solo. It's all good. Have you been listening to the show so far? Obviously not, because you just figured that I'm just doing the show by myself.
Yeah, no, I just texted out, man. I pulled up the link on my computer, but I couldn't hear anything.
It's all good. All right, right now what we're talking about, because I'm going to give you about two segments to talk about, okay? So right now we're talking about Kevin Durant. Should he get some criticism or some scrutiny the same amount of criticism or scrutiny that LeBron James has gotten over the years in terms of not winning the big game, or, you know, for LeBron it wasn't a big shot, but not winning the big game?
Yes and no.
All right, go ahead. Break that down.
All right, I'm going to break it down. I say yes because, as you know, if you guys know, I'm not the best LeBron, the biggest LeBron fan.
Easily.
But when LeBron was struggling in Cleveland, a lot of it had to do with Mike Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing could be said with Kevin Durant. You know, the games, because you have to look at Scottie Brooks. Brooks. Yeah, Durant received the same blame, but I don't think he will. Just because there's an OKC to go around.
Alright.
And for whatever reason, people will love to blame Westbrook before they blame Durant.
Doesn't that amaze you though? Like I initially I was I blamed Westbrook, I feel like when they got to the finals the first year, when they got to the finals with against Miami and lost that championship, and I blamed Westbrook. I was saying basically Westbrook is taking too many shots, let Durant do his thing. But over the years, I've grown to appreciate Russell Westbrook, especially Spurs game six. If you look at game six, I felt like Westbrook was the one who wanted it more. Like he was the dog in that series to me.
And I totally agree with you. And the thing about it is that when Westbrook plays the way he played in game 3, 4, 5, and even game 6, when he plays that way, OKC is basically unbeatable. Durant can go off and drop 40 points, but it's still a struggle.
Yeah.
Because Westbrook brings aggressiveness on offense and defense.
Yeah, he's a two-way player.
He's a two-way player. And the thing about it is that I don't think defensively he's being used the way he needs to be used.
So how would you use him defensively?
Personally, full court, three-fourths court,
mm-hmm.
just pressuring the ball. I know a lot of people in the NBA don't do it because they don't want to wear out their players.
Yeah, he's a star player.
I understand he's a star player, but I mean, I'm not saying do it like Patrick Beverley from Houston all game long. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying when you go against a Chris Paul who is a great point guard, but he's been injured all year. And you know that without Chris Paul on that court, the Clippers are not the same team.
Got you.
So make him work. At least put Reggie Jackson. Make him do full court, press on full court.
Mm.
There's certain things where you could do where you could trap. Because Westbrook is a great trapper. When he was in UCLA, no one knew he was a great offensive player that he is now.
Nobody. Exactly.
He was all about defense in UCLA.
Sure was. First team all defense in the Pac-10, right? First team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And the thing about it is that, he could guard the point guard, shooting guard, and small forward. So I just think their defensive scheme could be better. That's why, if you follow me on Facebook, I'm pushing for him to be fired.
Scott Brooks. All right, I did the same thing. So, all right, so I put Facebook not too long ago, shouldn't Mark Jackson be the head coach of the OKC Thunder? I think he would be really good for a Russell Westbrook. You mentioned George Karl. I know that.
Yeah. I mean, George Karl would be my last option.
Who would be your first option?
You have Mark Jackson.
Okay.
Mark Jackson and Avery Johnson would be my first two options with Nate McMillan in there as well. But my thing is that, we talked about on Facebook is that these guys need direction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're growing off talent for the past 3-4 years. It's just been straight.
With no plays.
No plays. No offensive play, no guesses by the coaching staff. And I think another thing that you saw from Westbrook from last year to this year was that there was no Maurice Cheeks.
Yeah, that's true.
Maurice was an assistant coach on the staff the previous 3-4 years. But he got the job, Detroit got fired.
Yeah, they got fired, yeah.
But so I think you saw Westbrook kind of like do his own thing a little bit more, especially in that fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And I think Maurice wasn't there to talk to him. And I think Scott Brooks, you really don't see him talking to his point guard like you see Mark Jackson does with Steph Curry or Doc Rivers.
Yeah.
Due to Chris Paul or Rondo or, whoever point guard in Boston was.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think Westbrook and Durant just need that direction. It's kind of like that Doc Rivers direction, what Doc Rivers gave the Clippers this season.
Got you.
A lot of talent, but just need to be direction of how to win games.
Yeah, it's interesting to see what they're going to do. I do agree. The head coach situation, I would like to see a Mark Jackson. The reason why I think I like to see Mark Jackson, the head coach for this team, I think Mark Jackson is a motivator. And when everybody's talking about how, Westbrook doesn't pass the ball to KD in clutch time, well, KD's not demonstrative for the ball. He allows Westbrook to do his thing. Like, he doesn't say, Westbrook, give me the ball. When you're the apex predator, You look at it like, all right, I want the ball. Like, I'm that dude. I need the ball. Westbrook, give me the ball. You're doing too much. But you when you look at Westbrook, like, he's the alpha dog. If that's Mark Jackson, Mark Jackson's going to, in my opinion, take Durant to the side and be like, Durant, you get the ball. Like, you have the demand for the ball. You know, it won't be one of a friend. Go ahead.
Or Mark Jackson will call a freaking play.
Yeah, that's true.
If you look in game 6 in overtime, I think it was like 9 seconds left. It was after Duncan made that big shot.
Mm-hmm.
They came down, and Westbrook basically just threw up a desperate three.
That was a terrible shot, though. To me, that wasn't – it looked ugly, but it wasn't – it's the only shot he could take. Durant didn't get open.
I understand that, but to me, Westbrook should at least drove to the hole.
Oh, okay.
Try to get the and one.
So, okay.
And then you play the foul game.
So, how come people aren't, to me, are to play devil's advocate, Durant shouldn't have shot that three. Should have drove to the basket and should have been a two. He should have went for the two.
I agree with that, because it was a lot of times in overtime. I think that one shot where he got the ball at the 3-point line, he pump faked, and he drove, and he pulled up for the free throw. The free throw line.
Yeah.
To me, he should just went too straight to the hole. But I think that has another thing to do with, I think those guys were tired.
Yeah.
Straight out. You could tell, you know, a lot of their shots were short.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fatigue. And I think that's another thing where, you know, if you bring in another head coach, a Mark Jackson or Avery Johnson, whoever, you know, they would use that bench more.
All right. Well, let's go to it. Go ahead. I'll let you finish up.
And that's another thing with Scott Brooks. He has no faith in his reserves. And it's the same thing with Vogel and as the Pacers head coach. You're not going to win the championship or get to the championship game without reserve players.
That's true.
I mean, if you look, you could look on back in history on every championship team, they had quality reserve players. And those are people that you develop. You just can't go out and sign a six-man.
Yeah,
Jamal Crawford or something like that. You know what I mean? You have to develop that bench. I mean, you look like the San Antonio Spurs.
Exactly.
That's the reason why he sits his starters during the regular season, so those bench players
can get some confidence and get the experience too, and get that time on the court.
You know what I'm saying?
So, but real quick, I want to read this off on Facebook. Pose the same question. Should Kevin Durant get the same scrutiny as LeBron, a younger LeBron James? Keith Stover said maybe next year for sure. I put more blame on the coach, like Ron said, and the lack of offensive sets and bad rotations. Plus, he's in the West, which is much harder to reach the finals than the East. Miami had a cakewalk this year to the finals. Yeah, I agree with that. Miami, of course, had a cakewalk. Then the Eastern Conference. The Eastern Conference has been weak for years now. Even weak when Jordan was winning it, in my opinion. Jordan Avery said, no, if you flip the Heat to the West and OKC to the East, the Thunder would go. Heat don't. I wouldn't say all that, but, you know, it's arguable. It depends. Would you think that he wouldn't go to the finals if they were in the West? Ron? Hello? Big Ron? I think we lost Big Ron. Anyway, Big Ron, you there? You're gone. All right. Well, thanks, Big Ron, for being on the show. We appreciate it. All right. Down to pregame real quick. The Nationals. Ryan Zimmerman is back from the DL and will return as the left fielder for the Washington Nationals. It's a big move. I like seeing Ryan Zimmerman at third. It's going to be interesting to see what happens when Bryce Harper comes back on the team. Seeing how they're going to have the rotation. Obviously, Denard Span. Is a better defensive player. You'll have Bryce Harper. You're not benching Worth. And you have Nate McLeod out there too as well. So I'm interested to see what the Nats are going to do. I'm still in favor of having Ryan Zimmerman at third. You don't want Espinoza out there in second because he can't hit. He's a good defender at second base, but he can't hit. So you probably want Ryan Zimmerman at third and have Rendon at second. But Rendon's playing well at third base, but it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen with the Nats. Anyway, down to pregame, let's go to boxing. Floyd Mayweather Jr. drops Golden Boy. Due to the fact that Richard Schaefer is leaving Golden Boy, so Floyd Mayweather is now going to drop Golden Boy. They used to have a dual promotion. Floyd has his own thing, but he was with Golden Boy too at the same time. So now he's exclusively working with, Big Ron is coming back on.
Call from
Watkins.
See, I got this little thing. Call from Ronnie Watkins.
Defend of
I feel like it's like from jail or something. Big Ron.
Yeah, what's up, man?
Yeah, okay. No problem, man. I was actually, you were pretty much done. But if you want to talk a little bit about little boxing, is that cool? Do you know anything about boxing?
Not really. That's my expertise.
Is that your expertise?
You and Will.
I know, right? Will ain't here. But anyway, are you going to watch the Cotto fight?
Yeah, I'm a fan of Cotto.
Who you have one between Cotto and Sergio Martinez, excuse me.
Oh, Martinez.
You got Martinez?
No, I'm going to go with Cotto.
Exactly. I'm going to go Cotto myself. Okay. Anyway, all right, Big Ron, it's good talking to you, man. Thanks for calling in, man.
All right, man.
I appreciate it. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. But yeah, so I'm gonna go with. But let's go to the Cotto fight, which Ari is already talking about it. Cotto, Sergio Martinez. I'm going with Cotto. I think this could be the fight that ends Sergio Martinez's career. I think Cotto will knock him out, and Cotto wins this fight. I think a lot of people have Sergio Martinez winning this fight on Twitter. My man Joshua Layfield. And Sergio in the Cotto's arena. It is going to be in New York, in a Madison Square Garden. I believe, could be wrong, but I believe it's Madison Square Garden. Speaking out Sergio Martinez. Anyway, we're about time to break. When I get back, we'll have my man Doc Hancock. We'll be talking about the NBA Finals. We'll be previewing it. You know, I got the Miami Heat. I'm a big LeBron James fan, but I'm interested to hear what he's going to say about the series. Anyway, it's the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig?
Morning, it's me, Magic Johnson here. I won 5 NBA championships and Olympic gold medal. So I'm calling the shots today. Get up out of bed, into school, try hard, do well. School got me to where I am today. So be there every single day. And of course, give it your best shot.
This one's for you and me, living out our dreams. We're all right where we should be. With my arms out wide, I open my eyes, and now all I want. Is a sky full of lighters, a sky full of lighters.
Time you hear this, I will have already spiraled up. I would never do nothing to let you cowards f*** my world up. If I was you, I would duck or get struck like lightning fighters. Keep fighting, put your lighters up, point them skyward, Had a dream, I was king, I woke up, still king. Snap canes, nipple is mine for the milk king. Till nobody else even f***ing feels me, till it kills me. I swear to God, I'll be the f***ing illest in this music. There is
the I love this song, man. Eminem really rocks it. Anyways, the Urban Sports Scene back from commercial break. Please call in. The number is 202-495-0904. The number is, again, it's 202-495-0904. All right, man. Again, appreciate my homeboy Ronnie Lee calling in. Y'all get your government, man. I apologize for all that, but still. That's my homie since college days in the University of Maryland Eastern Shore and HBCU. But anyway, back from commercial break. You can listen. Oh, excuse me. Got a caller. Hi, my man Doc. Excuse me.
Call from.
Doc. The DOC.
Yeah, is this what? Yeah, how you doing, man? What's going
how
on?
How you doing, man? Doc. He's on the Urban Sports Team. What's going on, my man?
I'm doing all right. Getting kind of hot here in Memphis and everything.
Exactly. We got folks in Memphis. That's what's up. That's my man. Before we get into our segment, let me do a little read, and we'll get right into it. All right, so you can listen to our show by visiting our official Urban Sports Scene website. The site is www.waleo.podbeam.com. Waleo is spelled W-A-L-E-O dot P-O-D-B-E-A-N.com. That's Podbean. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. You can also listen to us on the Sports Crib Podcast Show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Still a Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Still a Fan. Again, call, the call-in number is 202-495 202-495-0904. That's 202-495-0904. Again, here's my man, Doc. We met on the, matter of fact, the Sports Crib Anyway podcast show. So, Doc, first off, let's get into the NBA Finals. Tim Duncan stated that the Spurs will get their revenge against the Heat. Was that the right move for Tim Duncan and the San Antonio Spurs?
I think somehow I would say this, it will be a great series, to be honest with you, but I cannot see them getting their revenge against Miami. Here's why. The reason why I say that is because I feel like Miami is too complete of a team. They're too complete of a team. This team's on a mission.
Yeah.
There's a thing, when you mess with a team that's on a mission, you're going to run into a lot of problems. And as much as, you know, as much as I respect what Tim Duncan and Spurs have done over the years, I just cannot see this team getting their revenge on the Heat. I really can't. I would not be surprised if the Heat swept the Spurs.
Wow, a sweep?
Four games.
You think so? A sweep?
I think it's possible it could happen. I mean, Tony Parker is not 100%. Mm-hmm. Let's all be honest here. Mm-hmm. He's not 100%. And I think that would play into the Spurs chances.
All right. So go ahead.
So that's the reason why I can't see the Heat. I can't see the Spurs getting the revenge at all.
Okay, so but back to the question. Do you think that, like, Tim Duncan even stating that they're going to get the revenge? Like, Tim Duncan, this is the first time I ever heard Tim Duncan so confident. Tim Duncan's pretty much stated that we're going to win this series. Last year, we're going to win. Do you think that's something that he shouldn't have done, like, to fuel somebody like LeBron James, who we've seen somebody like Lance Stephenson, who stated some junk, and all of a sudden LeBron looked motivated after that? Is that something good? Did he do something good or bad for his team?
I think it's bad. I think it's bad. I mean, you're not hearing anything from the Heat camp in regards to Tim Duncan, in regards to the Spurs, or anything. You know, you're not hearing anything. All you're hearing is respect. And for the Spurs, for somebody like Tim Duncan to say something like that, that's just, you know, that just throws everyone out for a loop.
Mm-hmm. That caught me off guard myself because I couldn't believe it. You know, for years we hear Tim Duncan, the guy who's the my fundamental, the quiet one, the quiet assassin. And all of a sudden now, to me, what that says to me is that obviously last year's series really hurt him. it really hurt him.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I have a friend in Miami, and she said, literally, I think she was at the game, game six.
Mm-hmm.
And Ray Allen, when she literally said, take that effing trophy back to the locker room when Ray Allen hit the shot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of like akin to what the Cardinals did 3 years ago when it looked like the Texas Rangers were going to win a World Series.
Got you.
And then David Freese hit that triple and that everything. So it's sort of like if you don't do it then and now, you got these guys on the ropes, and you got a chance to win this game, win this series, win a championship, you better deliver that knockout punch now. Because if you don't, you're going to be out of luck. You're going to be out of luck. And that's what happened to the Spurs last year. That's what happened to the Rangers in 2011 against the Cardinals.
That's a good comparison.
They had a chance. Yeah, they've actually happened. And as I say, my friend who lives in Miami, she literally said, take that effing trophy back into the locker room.
Yeah,
because they had rolled the trophy out, and they were ready to award it to the Spurs. And when Ray Allen hit that shot, that's when everything changed.
Yeah, I remember. I was at the bar watching the game when my usual co-host of this show at the time, and you know, everybody was hyped, you know, because, you know, when you go to me, I don't know how it is where you live at, but where I live at, everybody hates LeBron. So where I was at, Everybody was going, you know, everybody's rooting for the Spurs, which is funny to me. You know, the Spurs have been a great team for many years. And anytime the Spurs are in the finals, nobody really cares. And nobody cares about Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, or Mono Ginobili. But when they play the Miami Heat, people care. So anyway, we're there. And, everybody's hype. Like, oh, the Spurs are going to beat Miami. Yes. And as soon as Ray Allen hits that three, it's like the whole bar was quiet. And be advised, this bar was packed. The whole bar was quiet. And in that regard, you can just tell. And, you know, when you watch it on TV, you can see, like, basically the NBA getting prepared for that big celebration. You having David Stern. You can see people get ready to hit the middle of the floor, expecting the Spurs to win the championship on Miami's court. And, you know, just to look at where I was at in my surroundings, that's what people expected. They expected the Spurs to win. And when Ray Allen hit that three, everybody was shook and everybody was hurt. So, and they knew from that point, Miami was going to probably win the game. So it's not surprising to me that, you know, Tim Duncan, a guy who experienced it, a guy who's in my estimation is one of the best players of all time, to be that close to win a championship and never lost a championship, a finals ever, to lose, it had to hurt. And for him to state, you know, basically that this team, that the Spurs will get their revenge in this series, just speaks volumes to me about how hurt Tim Duncan was last year.
I mean, I think anybody who goes through that, they get hurt.
Of course.
They get hurt. I mean, I remember as a kid, I played baseball in middle school. We had a chance to win the school's first baseball title in 40 years. And on a walk-off hit. And the next year, and I was, the next year, my final year at school, we eventually won the city championship. And it was our first time in 42 years that we won one, and we beat the team that we lost to, and we worked on was focused on getting our revenge and stuff, you know. So it hurts. I mean, it hurts. Anytime you lose like that, it definitely hurts. And to be honest, I think the Spurs this year, you know, we always count them out, but they literally. I literally thought, aside from Miami, they were the best team in the NBA.
Yeah.
I
thought they were the best team in the NBA. They had the best record in the NBA. And it also, to me, the Popovich, just how great of a this team looked, you know, for a team to lose the way it lost in the finals. And even coming into the season, they were still in a daze. And then they hit that streak. They hit their stride. And they looked like and this team is dangerous. But real quick, you mentioned Tony Parker. He missed the second half against the Thunder with the ankle. Do you think he's playing possum with? You know, it's a real injury. I know you mentioned that the injury could be real. But do you really believe that injury is like legit? Because I don't. I think it's a Serge Ibaka thing.
I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I can't say if it's real or not. But if he says he's hurt, that's the way I see it. I'm not going to sit here and say he's fake or anything.
Mm-hmm. Like his but go ahead.
But if it is real, and if he is not 100%, I seriously doubt he will be effective.
Yeah.
So
that's what I agree with. That's the thing. I think Tony Parker is essential for this team to win this series. Tony Parker. The Spurs can't lose one of their big three, in my opinion, in this series. Mono Ginobili can't be off in this series. Tony Parker has to be 100% in this series. He can't be limited because he's an advantage. Tim Duncan's going to be an advantage because the Miami Heat don't have a big that can contend with Tim Duncan. That's just a fact. Now it's up to Tim Duncan to be in the condition to play that, you know, in a high-paced game sometimes, because the Miami Heat tend to run up and down the floor. But Tony Parker is essential. If Tony Parker is not 100%, then this team isn't going to win the series. I totally agree with you right there. But I think Tony Parker is 100%. I think Popovich is a smart coach. In my opinion, he's one of the smartest coaches in the NBA. He looked at Tony Parker getting hurt in that Thunder, in that OKC game, and was like, this is game 6, all right? If Tony plays and gets hurt even worse, and we lose this game, I won't have him for game seven. And now we're in big trouble against OKC. So let me play with house money. We're up in this series. We got a game in San Antonio. I'll sit Tony for the whole game. Hopefully our team will pick it up and we'll win this game. Or I'll have Tony Parker in game seven rested. And so that's how I looked at it. And it worked out in his favor because he got the rest Tony Parker in that game against OKC, team one, and he gets that big rest for Thursday night.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. That's my thing, my whole thing. The thing about the Heat, it's like their offense is so direct. It's very perimeter-oriented. Mm. It's a very perimeter-oriented team. It's also focused on the dribble. It's focused a little bit on the dribble drive.
Exactly.
You don't see them going to – it's not really about – The big man or anything like that. It's not really anything focused on the big man or anything like that. It's really focused on flashing to the goal or taking a lot of threes. So that's really what their whole offense is centered around. It's not centered around plotting down low in the paint. The Spurs, they're really focused on showcasing the big man. It's a very European, they run a very European style offense. That's the thing that they run, you know, and in the case of the Heat, they really run a lot of plays, like with Wade, you know, he's going to slash to the ground, and, you know, LeBron's going to do that same thing as well. They also take a lot of threes. So I think it's two contrasting styles when it comes to the Heat and the Spurs.
Yeah, they both got two different styles. Tony Parker's need for San Antonio. They're gonna need a Tony Parker in this, you know, for their style because they know what the Heat would have by having Tony Parker on the floor. The Heat, like what you said in terms of, I mean, the Spurs with their style, they move the ball around. They're predicated on spacing. They love spacing. The plays are set. Everybody touches the ball. It's a pretty basketball that the Spurs play, to be honest with you. The Heat can be, obviously, you have LeBron. So much is focused around LeBron James. Let's just be real with the situation. The Heat offense is effective when you have a LeBron James or Dwayne Wade with the ball because they create. It's not like San Antonio. San Antonio's offense isn't based on creation. Now, Tony Parker can create shots, and so can Manu Ginobili. But to be honest with you, it's not needed like Miami is needed. Like the Spurs are really predicated on ball movement and, you know, guys showing it, or backdoor cuts, or, you know, guys, you know, even on high screen and rolls, people dive into the basket. It's spacing and movement. The Spurs have great spacing and movement. That's one thing that Eric Spoelstra, as a head coach, has lacked over the years of being being the head coach for the Miami Heat, is just having that kind of constant motion. He's done a good job with Dwayne Wade off the ball. Dwayne Wade movement out the ball has been better over the last couple of seasons, but the movement hasn't been the same. But all praise to Pop. I always said Pop is the best coach in basketball. If Pop had any like the Miami Heat or the OKC, he wouldn't lose a championship ever. But we're going into the series. Who has the big advantage?
I think now the Heat, I always go with the healthier team. The Heat have the advantage now because this team is healthier. Their starting five is healthy. You don't have any, you know, their starting five. Now, if you want to go position by position, I'll say half will go to the Spurs, and half will go to the Heat. But overall, I think going into this game, into this series, they have the big advantage.
Okay, so I'm a disagree. I'm rooting for Miami Heat to win the championship. I'm not going to lie to you. I predict the Miami Heat winning in six. But I will say this: in my opinion, this Spurs team has the advantage, but it's only because of one dude, and it's Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan is the guy that nobody on that team can guard. The guys who are playing cannot even bother. Chris Bosh is too soft for Tim Duncan. I know that's, you know, it's tough to say to anybody, but Chris Bosh is too soft for Tim Duncan. Udonis Haslem likes to play physical, but Tim Duncan's too skillful for Udonis Haslem, and he's just too short to check Tim Duncan. Then you have the Birdman. I guess the Birdman would be the best defender for Tim Duncan, but again, Tim Duncan again is too skilled for the Birdman. So. And the Birdman isn't even 100%. So if the Birdman's not 100% to check a Tim Duncan, that could be barbecue chicken all day, in my opinion, with Tim Duncan. So that's the advantage they do have. Now, obviously, the overall advantage, you know, because the nobody in the league can check him is LeBron James. So, you know, I guess they can cancel each other out. But in my opinion, in terms of the Miami's weakness compared to a strength for San Antonio, is Tim Duncan. You have one of the best bigs to ever play this game on your team, and to me, can give you 20 and 10 any given night, even at this age now. So they have the advantage in that regard. But again, and also in another advantage, in my opinion, for San Antonio is they have the better head coach. They have a coach that makes the best adjustments. Yeah, they don't have the best player in the world, but they have a coach, to me, that's the best coach in the world. And any coach that can make adjustments like Pop, it's going to be difficult to beat.
Yeah, I mean, coaching wise, you can't go up against. You can't go in favor of Spoelstra. You have to go in favor of Popovich. You have to. I mean, from a coaching standpoint.
Yeah. So it's going to be, again, so, I mean, but I go with, in terms of advantage, a big advantage, just because I feel like to be getting easy points, I just see Tim Duncan getting easier points. But if LeBron just goes off, I mean, LeBron just has that, you know, has that dog in him. He just feels like that beast. There's nobody on this court that's going to beat a LeBron. That's the thing, one thing I think Tim Duncan made a mistake with. You don't awaken a beast. You know what I mean? LeBron's already, to me, are, like you said earlier, is motivated. This whole Heat team is motivated. LeBron is a dog. You don't anger a dog, all right? You just, if he's chill, let him chill. But you don't anger a dog. And right now, in my opinion, you're making LeBron adding fuel to the fire with LeBron James, a guy who's already been motivated. He knows if he gets a three-peat, he's now in another level in terms of, you know, when we talk about the greatest of all time, we're talking about where you are in the history of basketball. So if he has an opportunity to beat the great Tim Duncan for the second time in a row, even, you know, his counterpart, Kobe Bryant couldn't do something like that. You get somebody who could beat Tim Duncan straight back to back. It's scary.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's definitely scary. I mean, I think Kobe's beaten him like once.
Yeah, but I don't think it's back to back. I don't think it's back to back. That's the thing. I don't think it's been back to back.
No, it's not back to back at all. It's not back to back at all. You know, he's going to do something that very few players have managed to do. I mean, yeah, Durant beat him in 2012, and he beat him in 2012 and could have had Westbrook been healthy.
Yeah.
In 2013, had Westbrook been healthy, the Thunder, he would have had a chance to beat Duncan in 2013, but Westbrook got hurt, the Grizzlies end up winning, and of course the Grizzlies got swept. But yeah, LeBron's gonna have a chance to do something that he never had a chance, that no other player that ever had a chance to do. I mean, Michael Jordan, of course, he beat twice back to back. But they were like on the same wavelength. This year is what could be the greatest player in NBA history to beat one of the two great big men in NBA history, back-to-back years. That's something that's unheard of.
Yeah, and
like,
go ahead.
I would say that's like Larry Bird being Jerry West in the twilight of his career, or something like that.
Mm-hmm. But, like, to me, the importance of, like what you mentioned, like, even mentioning Karl Malone is one of the best power forwards of all time. But Tim Duncan, arguably, when people talk about power forwards, and Tim Duncan, I guess, is labeled a power forward. And a lot of people, this, you know, is the power forward, is the best power forward of all time. And you get LeBron James to knock out a Tim Duncan back-to-back years. Yes, this is not the same Tim Duncan of, you know, the Tim Duncan who beat the Nets in the finals, or who beat, I'm trying to think of other teams he beat in the finals. The Nets in the finals, or Tim Duncan who's won four championships. It's not the same Tim Duncan. But be advised, this Tim Duncan is still a 20-10 and a caliber player. You know, the only reason he probably didn't make – the only reason he has to make the All-Star team on a regular basis nowadays is because Popovich decides to rest him because he's an older player. But don't get it twisted. This Tim Duncan is still a dog, all right? So for LeBron James to knock out a Tim Duncan in back-to-back years, that's something that speaks volumes and should be talked about in a high light. But real quick, so obviously you have the Heat win the series in a sweep. Am I correct by saying that? Do you really stick to that? Are you sticking to that? Because I'm gonna tweet you if the Spurs win a game.
Right.
So you have them sweeping them.
Again,
you have the Heat. You have the Heat sweeping the Spurs. I want to make sure.
If Tony Parker isn't healthy.
Okay. If Tony Parker isn't healthy, so obviously you have.
If Parker's healthy.
Yeah.
If Parker's healthy. If Parker's healthy, this series is going to seven. This series is going to seven.
But you would still have Miami winning the series, right?
Yeah.
All right. They'll
win in either five. I'll say five or six.
Okay. All right. If Parker's healthy, let's say Parker's healthy. Who takes game one?
If Parker's healthy, the Spurs take game. Game one.
So if Parker's healthy, the Spurs take game one. I'm okay. That's cool. If Parker's healthy, the Spurs take one. I'm gonna go a different route. I think because of Tim Duncan's, you know, statement, I think Miami takes game one. I think LeBron has a monstrous game though. I think LeBron has a hellacious game. One of the better games we've seen in I'm seeing 30, 35, Kawhi Leonard not knowing what to do, and obviously Miami, to me, the Spurs will probably have the same strategy as sagging on LeBron James' jump shot, but it won't work because that J will be on. It's going to be a problem in game one because of Tim Duncan, and to me, Dwayne Wade is even a better basketball player. He looks better. Excuse me, he looks better this season compared to last season. So that's going to be a big sign too. Let's see who else I would have. So okay, question. So if Tim Duncan wins the championship, right? Should Tim Duncan be considered as one of the greatest of all time? Forget being the best power forward, but one of the greatest of all time. And should he retire?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
No question. He should be. No question. Okay. He should be considered one of the greatest.
I agree. Go ahead.
I would say even before this year, I consider him one of the greatest players in the history of the NBA. Even before then, it's just going to enhance his legacy among
with the history of basketball.
It's going to enhance it. When you enhance something, when a legend wins another championship, enhance their legacy. We don't say, oh, they're going to be quote unquote a legend. They already legends.
That's true.
They're already legends. So I'm just going to go on and say his legacy is just going to be enhanced.
Okay.
If he wins another championship.
Okay, it's cool.
And in the case of LeBron, his legacy is going to be even more enhanced. He's going to be in that pantheon of greats that had more than two championships. I mean, Wade's going to have four.
Yeah.
LeBron's going to have three.
Yes.
he's gonna be in that I want to say that company players like
the Mount Rushmore, the Mount Rushmore of basketball elites.
Yeah, that's why I see it. That's why I see his legacy is gonna be.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think Tim Duncan, in my opinion, we need to stop talking about Tim Duncan first. When I mentioned Tim Duncan first, we need to stop talking about Tim Duncan if he does win the championship as the best power forward. We need to start talking about Tim Duncan as the same way we talk about Kobe Bryant the same way we talk about Magic Johnson, same way we talk about Michael Jordan, the same way we talk about Oscar Robertson. We're talking about as one of the great, you know, being that discussion, like, was he the best player ever? Because this is a guy that even in the later stages of his career is a very effective player and could score 20 and 10, but just because Popovich wants to rest him and he understands what's important in basketball is playoff time, Tim Duncan is not going to give you the stats that, say, some of these other players would have, you know. Tim Duncan, to me, is outlast Shaq, and he was one of the more dominant players. And that's the telling sign to me about Tim Duncan. Even when the Lakers were at their apex level, Tim Duncan was the only player in that era that can stop a Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe Bryant combo. And this is before Tony Parker was even good. Tony Parker didn't have a jump shot back then. Manu Ginobili was pretty good, but Tony Parker didn't have a jump shot. Tony Parker was one-dimensional. But Tim Duncan was that one dude that any time the Lakers had to play, was that one dude they really didn't have an answer for, and that can beat a Kobe-Shaq combination. And that just told me that the greatness of Tim Duncan, and you add that in, you know, when people talk about, like, Kobe and Shaq, one of the best duos ever, just think about this one guy from Wake Forest who wasn't flashy but always dropped buckets on him, and they had nothing to do with it. It was Tim Duncan, and it was amazing to me. So Tim Duncan should always be in that discussion. Now to LeBron James. To me, LeBron James getting a three-peat speaks volumes. You know, from a guy that everybody said he couldn't win a championship, now has three in a row, four finals appearances and three championships. He's dominated in 4 years in terms of him and his team has dominated the Eastern Conference in 4 years, has dominated the NBA in two, and win a championship. That means he dominated the NBA in 3 years back in a row. That's one thing you cannot take away from LeBron James. I don't care how much you hate the dude. I don't care if you can say all hate speech, or LeBron James, he's bigger than everybody, or the Eastern Conference is weak, or this, that, and the other. LeBron James got to the championship and played Western Conference talent and dissected it, and was Finals MVP in all three of his victories. There was nobody that you could even say, okay, was the Finals MVP, was LeBron James. So in my opinion, LeBron James moves up in the talk, and in terms of today's basketball player, there's nobody we can even say that was better than LeBron James. That includes Kobe Bryant or whatever. LeBron James right now, if he wins a third straight championship, is the best basketball player in our viewing opinion. What I mean by that is I'm talking about the Tracy McGrady's, Kobe Bryant, Allen Iverson, the players that we've seen in his generation, he's better than already. I won't talk about the Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, and, you know, Larry Bird and folks like that, but I'm saying in our generation, in our time of truly watching basketball and really studying it, LeBron James is the best basketball player in that younger generation of hoop stars, period.
Definitely, absolutely.
But real quick also, before we got a couple more things, we're about to wrap up soon, but anyway, on our Twitter page, on the Urban Sports Scene Twitter page, I mentioned who would win game one. My man Ringo has the Spurs taking game one. I actually believe he has the Spurs taking series as well. My man Glad Hoyas has the Spurs taking game one. So a lot of people have the Spurs taking game one without the whole Tony Parker thing. But I think you obviously have a valid point. But real quick, Horace Grant said something about, you know, talking about them. I was talking about Michael Jordan and the Bulls. Horace Grant had an interesting thing to say in the Chicago radio station. He said LBJ's Heat team would have no chance to beat Michael Jordan's Bulls team. And in your valid opinion, do you think he's right?
He might be. I mean, it was a different basketball. It was a different era of basketball. So I can sit here and say, yeah, they could probably do it. We personally don't know. I mean, they played in a different era. It was more physical back then.
Mm-hmm.
It was more physical. They weren't calling fouls on everything.
Yeah,
now,
right about that.
now they call a foul on anything from breathing the wrong way or coughing. I mean, if you even sneeze on a player, they call a foul on you. So I don't know. I think personally, to be honest, I think honestly they could be I think honestly the Bulls of the 90s could beat the Heat.
Yeah.
If you played it in the 1990s, but if you go with now,
because Horace Grant thinks that if Jordan and his team played with the rules that today, that he thinks it wouldn't even be close with today's rules. I tend to agree with you, but Horace Grant thinks in today's rules that nobody would be able to stop the Bulls. I agree with you, though.
Yeah, as I say, it's very if this team could do something like that, hard to see now on top because the styles of basketball in the 90s compared to now.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a big NBA fan growing up,
yeah.
I was a big NBA fan, but watching the NBA now as opposed to what it was in 2000, like, is up to maybe around the time ESPN decided to air the games, and like my junior year of high school,
mm-hmm.
It's like the style of the game has changed so much. From when I was a kid to all the way up until I was getting ready to graduate high school, like you look forward to those, you know, drawn out battles and stuff. It's like now, it's like watching the NBA to me now.
Doc, you still there? Are you there, Doc? Doc, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
So I'm here.
All right, so what did you just say? I'm sorry.
As I said, the NBA now in 2014 is like watching Downton Abbey almost. But I digress.
I put this whole article on our Facebook page. My man Jordan said Horace Grant is correct. My man Rodney Scott, who is a big Bulls fan and who is very biased, obviously, because he's still living in the past, says he ain't lying. My thing about it is that it's Horace Grant speaking, so obviously he's biased. So it's Horace Grant. He's talking about his own team. So, of course, he's going to say he can beat the Miami Heat. My thing is you have LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. If we're talking about Dwayne Wade, 100% Dwayne Wade against LeBron James and what he is today, it wouldn't be easy because I think Chris Bosh can get buckets on Horace Grant. And LeBron and D Wade would work. There's no break for Kobe. There's no break for Michael Jordan. Usually, all great stars have a break. They'll probably check somebody who's not as a threat. There would be no break for Michael Jordan. He would have to see Dwayne Wade and attacking Dwayne Wade or attacking LeBron James on a consistent basis, and vice versa. So, this is a different beast that Jordan would even have to go against because there would be no break. Scottie Pippen would always have somebody going at him, and Scottie Pippen always checked the best player, so he's used to it. But Jordan would always have to work, so it would be a tough series. I would never say that, I would never say when any championship team, when they go against another championship team in a different era, be so dismissive and say that, yeah, we would run through that team, especially being a role player. If it was Michael Jordan or Scottie Pippen staying, and I'd be like, it would hold more clout. We're talking about Horace Grant, a role player. You're not holding clout with me, boy. Like, in my opinion, you ain't talking about nothing. Scottie Pippen's the same dude that said LeBron James would be better than Michael Jordan. So, I mean, what's his whole thought process? So, as a role player, I'm not really siding with a Horace Grant. I understand what he's. I mean, I understand his biasness. Of course, you're gonna be biased. That's your team. That's the team you played on.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, but now, Doc, we're about to close out the show. Do you want to tell the folks where you're from and or, you know, how folks can reach you on Twitter and things of that sort?
Well, you can reach me. I do radio as well. Uh-huh. I do Couchbox Radio on Monday nights on TalkTube Radio. I also do the Hoop City Chronicles, and I also you can also find me writing about New Orleans sports on GumboSports.com, as well as the South in general on Make Your Brain Sports, because I do that's based in Jackson, Mississippi. On Twitter, you can follow me at rhancock19. It's kind of like a poor version of Feinbaum, the Paul Feinbaum show, because I have all kinds of characters on my timeline and whatnot. So that's pretty much all you can. That's what I urge everyone to do. Just follow me on Twitter at rhancock19. And that's all I got to say. thank you so much, Waylo. Wale. Waylo.
Wale. You right, Wale.
Wale. All right, Wale. Thank you so much, Wale.
No problem, man. Thank you for being on the show. I appreciate it.
No problem.
All right, man. Take it easy, man. And I'll make sure folks follow you, too.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right, no problem. Again, man, appreciate my man Doc for being on the show, man. Because I needed it. I needed the help. We were doing it.
Now you wonder why it doesn't, how it doesn't. It wasn't because he had, wasn't circling around his.
Eminem, chill, son. Chill. I love that song, I told you. I should play it again anyway. But, you know, I appreciate my man Doc doing the show. I was doing it on the solo. Appreciate Big Ron being on the show. It was kind of tough, but they made it easy for me. Again, appreciate everybody for listening to the show. It was a different show, but I think it was entertaining. Again, I have the Miami Heat winning. And again, for my man Rod Scott, if you are listening, probably not. And I will Facebook you to make sure you listen to the show that will be posted. There's no way that the Bulls will beat this Miami Heat team. LeBron James would fry your man Jordan. You heard me. Would fry your man Jordan. All right. Fry Jordan. Wally said LeBron James would fry Michael Jordan. Anyway, it's the Urban Sports Scene. And it's a great show. About to close out. So make sure to listen to our show. Visit www.walio.podbeam.com. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. So just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. Again, I appreciate you all. Again, I appreciate you all for listening to the show, even though, you know, it was difficult, very difficult, very difficult to do by myself. But it was fun. Anyway, man, like I said, it's the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Doses.